everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You with Karine Rafton, I'm the crew coach on the Wellbeing Project. Today, I have with us author and clinical psychologist, Dr. Edith Shiro. And she is now traveling the world, speaking about her wonderful book that she has recently launched called The Unexpected Gift of Trauma. Welcome, Dr. Edith.
Thank you so, so much, Karine. I'm so happy to be here with you and fascinated with the topics that we're going to talk about, and really wonderful to be talking about such an important topic, which is trauma and the aftermath.
Fantastic. So to give you a bit of context, when I see clients, often they are coming to me because I've worked within the industry and there's that common understanding. And I just want to let you know that Dr. Edith, she also sees yachties. She lives in Miami, so she really understands life at sea. So just to let you know, because I think crew feel more safe when there is an understanding. So Dr. Edith, your bio is super fascinating. I could see there that you have worked with refugees, and that was a standout point for me. Are you able to share a little bit about your career history?
Yes, and thank you for putting that piece of the safety and the knowledge of what it's like to work with people. Even if we don't work with necessarily the same experiences, I want to tell you that trauma, as it is, it's really so pervasive and so present in so many cultures and so many communities that we can talk about it and it's going to be accessible and relatable to everybody around. So ever since I was a little girl, I was living in a community of immigrants and refugees. And I always had this question of what it was like to go through very difficult experiences, such as war, refugee, immigration status, persecution and poverty, all kinds of things, and how people come out of it. And I saw different ways of responding to that. Some people would stay stuck with their difficulties, with their adversity. Other people would be very resilient and come out of it. And then yet there were another group of people that were really good at thriving and really transforming these experiences into something amazing and something that was like a leap into another way of living their lives. And that was fascinating to me. So I of course, studied psychology, and I've been doing a lot of research for many years, of more than 25 years, on this specific topic of post-traumatic growth and how people transform their breakdowns into breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And how they really do this transcendence of whatever happens in their lives into shifting into something else that it's very beautiful and it's very growing. It's a growth experience for people when they go through it. So
yes,
I'm always happy to talk about this and to share this with the world. And actually, the book that I published, it's called The Unexpected Gift of Trauma because of it.
Yes. I do know a little bit of background around traumatic growth. And also to highlight that trauma is subjective. So how one person experiences trauma may be very different for another. So it's unfair or maybe not ethical for a psychologist or counselor to say, oh, you experienced trauma. Like a great example of my lived experience, I was learning how to drive and someone was shooting a firearm behind me, and then the cop car was behind the criminals. And I was never affected by that experience. And it was very real because my driver instructor told me to duck and continue to drive. And I thought, how? I don't know how to drive. And then there's someone shooting. So that was quite scary. But I was never traumatized by the events. And that, thinking back to your experience working with refugees and how people respond to trauma, which also then reminded me of the Holocaust and the concentration camps and the famous book, Man's Search for Meaning, and how he's certainly fascinating.
That's exactly right. One of the things that I talk say about trauma is not only that it's subjective, but it's also relational. Mm-hmm. And that means that whatever happens to us, it's affecting not only because of the event that happens, but because of how it affects our relationships around us. So I've been dealing with the immigrant community. People go through, for example, having to escape their countries or change communities. And yes, for some people, it might be something that is more something they have to do, but it's not shaking and it's not shattering their lives. But for some other people, it's extremely traumatizing and they have a hard time really adjusting to the new life. Some people go through divorce and they can go through it and be okay. And other people have a very hard time going through that separation and that shift that it's so big in relationships. People, and there are all kinds of examples. And I'm talking about big traumas, big T trauma, but I'm also talking about small T trauma. When kids come to me and say they've been bullied, sometimes we adults around the kid, they don't take it so seriously. And the truth is that I have people that 10 years later and 20 years later are still talking about their bullying experience and how it affected them and how it shaped the way their relationship were going around. So that's why I'm saying that trauma is relational, because it's not just the event, but the shaming that comes with it, the isolation that happens when you're traumatized, how the kind of support that you have around you. That definitely makes a difference between an event being traumatizing or not. So maybe when you had your experience of the driving and the shooting, you had the relationships around you were supportive enough and you still had that open and connection, yes, to be able to process it and move along. And that really makes a big difference in terms of living that trauma. Mm.
Right. So talking about post-traumatic growth specifically and the stages, I know it's different to resilient, and it's almost post-traumatic growth. It's learning how to function even better than before the event. So if you don't mind just telling us how it all works.
Yeah. So sometimes it's a little controversial to say that resilience and post-traumatic growth are not the same thing. I like to make that distinction.
Yeah.
Especially because resilience is such a word that everybody uses it. And I love it because it shows all the positive things that people have, the coping mechanism. So when you are dealing with loss, let's say somebody around you has died, a loved one either has an accident or has died. Maybe you have there's a situation that is very conflictive in your life. Maybe you've been fired from a work, from a job. Maybe the pandemic happens and then your whole life is changing because of it. There's a possibility of really looking at this event as opportunities for growth. And if you know this is a possibility and you go through that process, I like to say there's hope. Trauma is not a life sentence. There is hope at the end of the tunnel. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a way of going through it. It's not easy. Can be very difficult, very challenging, but there's a way of getting to the other side. And when you get to that other side, the shift that happened and the changes that happens are so big that it's almost like you're being reborn. That's why I want to distinguish post-traumatic growth from resilience. Resilience is the way that we have to face adversity and have good coping mechanisms to deal with it. We're able to not break down when we're dealing with something difficult. If you are facing a conflict, you say, okay, I can do this. It's hard, it's painful, it's difficult, but I'm good at it. I have support. Maybe I have my personality traits. I can do it. I can move with it. And that's great to have that resilience. But what I'm talking about is moments in which you don't have those coping mechanisms. You don't have those resources to face what's happening with you. And then there's this breakdown, this shattering of your belief system, shattering of your relationships around you, with yourself, with others, with the world. And then there's a whole revision of what it's like to be in the world, pretty much. So we go through some stages of understanding ourselves, understanding our beliefs, rewriting our narratives of the world, of our lives, and then getting to that place of post-traumatic growth, which is all the very positive consequences that happen as a result of going through a traumatic experience.
So with the work that you have done so far with post-traumatic growth, what has been an event that has been, I would say, memorable in terms of the process and the outcome?
So many, because this is what I do every day. This is what I see with my patients when they go through this transformation. I'm going to give you an example of a little girl that I work with. She was the daughter of a couple that had a lot of struggles in terms of moving from one country to another, from one city to another. They were in a relationship that was not so acceptable because they had two different religions and they were had their communities and their families around them were not so happy that they were together. And they had one kid, this beautiful girl, and they were pretty much the three of them, the three musketeers almost, they called themselves. And after 10 years of this beautiful family being together, the mother developed a brain tumor. And he, within a few months, she died. So the father and the daughter were left by themselves to deal with this. And this is when this girl comes to me. And she was very aware of what was happening. And throughout the work that I did with the father and with the daughter, both of them, with the loss, with the changes, with the ideas that life, that relationships are not forever, that your mother, your father is not always going to be there for you, that if you do all the right things, you're always going to have positive results or the best thing, or good people have good, sorry that I'm having all these people coming into the door. The belief, for example, that if you do the right thing, you're a good person, life is going to be fair for you, life is going to be just. Or if you do all the right things, you do all the checks, you're not going to have to deal with major losses because you did everything right. All the things, imagine, all these beliefs were broken, were shattered. The father would come to me and say, how this happened? Why this happened? How can this be possible? I was a good husband. I was a good father. I'm a hardworking person. I'm super organized. I'm super good. I give to other people, I help, like, how this happened to me? And so a lot of the times the question is not so much what happened, what happened, but it's like, what for? What for? What was the purpose that this happened to me? And Viktor Frankl, that you mentioned on the Man's Central Meaning, says that it's not so much why this happened to me, but what's the purpose? What is this for? The meaning, right? The meaning behind the experience. And after working with this father and daughter for many years, because it wasn't an easy thing, they were able to get to a place, Karin, that it's very moving for me to see every time it happens with my patients or with the communities that I work with or with the groups that I deal with, is that they come to a place of being so appreciative of life and saying, yes, this happened to me. This happened. It's not just gratitude. It's really seeing life from a completely different lens. And most people say this to me every time. They say, yes, this happened to me. And it was horrible what happened. And I don't wish this on anybody. But I would not change this for anything in the world because it made me the person that I am.
I understand. Wow.
Every time I hear this, it's so moving. And then they say these things that happen, like this father, for example, had a completely different understanding of relationships because relationships become more meaningful. Life becomes more, they have different appreciation of life. Your perspectives, your priorities are so clear. You know what your priorities are. Like he would know who are his friends, who are not his friends, what are his goals in life. This girl, she became very mature, obviously, early on. She was very good to her friends. She always knew like what she was going to do when she was going to grow up. She wanted to help animals in the world and go through a nonprofit organization and do it. There's an awareness that happens that it's very unique to going through this process of breaking down and then rebirthing or like really working through your trauma, understanding what's given to you. People usually become very spiritual. They become much more connected. And by spiritual, I don't mean religious, that you have more awareness of that you're one with the universe, that there's something higher, there's something bigger than yourself, that you have these moments of more mystic experiences or more consciously aware and connected. And people usually are much more clear with their life purpose. So, for example, this father, he's a lawyer, and he developed this company, this foundation, pretty much, that said, I'm going to help every family that has a loss, that has a loss, a family died, and then they don't know how to go through the stages of how to arrange their lives financially and legally. And like, he does this. He goes to families. He helps them with their grieving, with their mourning in a legal way, in a financial way. Like, he tells them what to do, where to go, what to do, because he experienced that and he was such a loss. And there's not that much help around it. And people are dealing with their own emotions. And at the same time, they have so many demands from the outside world. So he's there for them. But can you imagine, like, how these things change? And then, so then you have the alcoholic, the person that has gone through addictions, that once they work through their own trauma, they become the mentors for other people that are going through addiction. Yeah. The mother that was bullied and that had children that were bullied. One of my mothers that I work with, she's opened a foundation to help other mothers that have had children that are being bullied, to support them, to give them tools and resources, where to go, what to do, what to say. So these kind of transformations are so powerful. And if you think about it, really, when people are very passionate about what they do and when they're able to really focus on what they want to say, it's because that comes from a place of a wound, usually, that has been transformed. And I think that's a beautiful thing that, you know, I think people can do. And my invitation really is to say, hey, here is that experience that you have, transform it. You know, there's hope. It's a very hopeful possibility. Mm-hmm. And really the message is to say, post-traumatic growth is a true possibility, and really you can do that shit.
Mm-hmm. And what I loved about the story that the man and the daughter was, not only was there transformation and he found purpose, but the grief and loss is brought up in a positive way where he lives on through his work.
They absolutely, she lives on in his work, in her life. It was funny, this girl, I think my dad is ready to have another wife. Mm-hmm. And I want this one to be this way and that way, with daughters, so I can have older sisters that have dogs and that. And I don't know how this happened. The universe is very beautiful. This man found a woman, beautiful woman, with two daughters and one son, two dogs. And this girl is, okay, I got what I wanted. I have older sisters. I have two dogs in my house. My father is happy. And they became really united and very close. They have a very meaningful connection. So, yeah, really great gift that from this tragedy that happened, they really turned it into a great gift.
And when you can work or live in a state of hope, I think it naturally brings more positive back into your life. It's like the law of attraction. When we're sitting in very oppressive, heavy, negative energy, that's important too. We need to sit in the uncomfortable for that growth to resurrect. But yeah, the transformation, as you're saying, and through that transformation, great things can happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that happens is that people don't know. Some people come to me, and when I hear people talking, say, okay, everybody knows what PTSD is, right? Yeah. Everybody knows post-traumatic stress disorder. Everybody knows that trauma can bring so much suffering, so many symptoms of depression and anxiety, and all these horrible things that people say, okay, this happened to me. There's nothing I can do. I have no choice. And the beauty of this is to say, once this is a possibility, once there's another alternative, another option, I think it's much easier to say, I'm willing and I'm wondering, I want to go through this path. And yeah, that's why knowing that there are stages that you can go through, people around you also know that there are stages to go through, and then you can facilitate that for other people. So it's not just for the person that is going through that, but it's also for the family around it, also for the therapist, for the mental health professional who say, I can offer this to my patients or to my clients. Say, you don't have to stay stuck in this trauma experience. Mm-hmm. You can actually use this as a trampoline of transformation. You can step into this and then move it into another direction. And I also want to say, in terms of, for example, for the Yaring community that you work with, it's not just for the individual. When you really know this is a possibility, the community in the Yar, the community of coworkers, or because it's a family, when you're in the boat for a long time with other people and you're working together, there's things that happen. And when you can say, okay, we went through something together, let's use this as a possibility for us to grow, to have better relationships, to connect in a better, more meaningful way, I think that that's a great opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Ida, I could talk to you all day. You've beautiful energy and aura about you, because I know your work sounds like your life purpose, and it really excites you more, the fact that it helps other people. So where can people find your book?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. This is the book, The Unexpected Gift of Trauma. It's actually translated into 10 different languages. You can find it on Amazon. You can go to my website, www.dredithchiro.com. It's really in every major bookstore in the United States, hopefully. And, or if you don't, yeah, I'm sure you can find it, but if you don't find it, you can call me and I'll point you in that right direction. And I encourage people to really buy it and to get it. And I want to hear from you guys and see, I want to hear the feedback, how it's helpful, what resonates with you. And it actually has a lot of exercises and a lot of tools that you can use.
Fantastic. Because they are Yotties and they're not based in one location, do you have the Kindle and Audible version?
Yes, the Kindle and Audible version are available. If you're doing it in Spanish specifically, it's my own voice in Audible. So that's very, I love that, because I get to whisper in both ears when they have it on their earbuds. And yes, yeah, it's really I'm very grateful and very privileged that the book is really in every modality. And hopefully you get to find it, you get to read it, you get to listen to it, and hopefully it'll bring you comfort and healing and hope.
Dr. Ida, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure I will connect with you in person in Miami one day. I really forward to it. Take care and all the best with your travels.
Thank you so much, and looking forward to continuing the conversation.